Good morning, RBC. Good morning. I am glad that you're here on this Memorial Day weekend service to worship Jesus and to hear his word. I want to welcome all the kids too. It's a family service. We don't have children's ministry today, so I'm glad all of you kids are here. And good news, today's Bible passage is addressed to you. It's about how you, specifically kids, can obey God. And because of that, I have a deal for all the kids in the room. First off, if you're in high school, on down, if you're in high school, middle school, elementary school, raise your hand. Put your hand up, high school, middle school, younger, okay? Here's the deal. If you fill out your bulletin, you get all the fill in the blanks on the notes page, then after service, you get a free snack. So we got a trough of treats already up here. So if you fill out your bulletin, come up here after service, pick one out. If you're thinking, I didn't grab a bulletin, raise your hand. Someone of any age, ushers are coming up with some bulletins. Come on up. If you need a bulletin, there's kids' ones, there's regular ones. You can just fill one out. Some over here. If you need a pen, raise your hand. You two guys got some pens? Fill that out. Okay, couple here. This whole section is good. That's great. All right, bulletins are going out, pens are going out. Here's the deal again. Let me say it. Anyone high school or under, fill in the blanks in your notes, then come up here after service and get a free snack. If you're a parent of a one-year-old, fill it out for them. Come up here, take their snack. You're going to be wrestling them for the next half hour anyway, so you deserve a snack. And certainly you can help your kids as we go. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing snacks? If you're not usually in here, we don't normally do snacks for listening to the sermon. But, one, there's a reward in our verse. We're going to talk about what a reward is for obeying this command. But also because, kids, I want you to listen to God's word. I want you to hear what it says. And I want you to take these notes home and even pray about it and ask God how you can obey what his word says. Now, if you're a grown-up here and you're thinking, why did I come to church today if this whole thing is for kids? Well, most of the message, I will be speaking directly to the kids. But in one sense, all of us are kids. We all have parents, and God has a word for all of us in here, too. All right, we got bulletins passed out, pens are out. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to take one of the Bibles under the chairs in front of you, it's going to be on page 979. We're continuing our study in the book of Ephesians. While you're turning there to Ephesians 6, let me review. Chapters 1 through 3 in Ephesians were all about the gospel. This book did not start with a list of commands, right? It's not, here's what you need to do to get to God. It's here's what God has done for us. And in chapters 1 to 3, Paul tells us what God has done for us. And if we believe this gospel, in chapters 4 to 6, we see how to live out the gospel. When we believe what Jesus has done for us transforms us. And last week we saw how the gospel transforms marriage. Today we're going to see how the gospel transforms children. So let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I'll read that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray. Father, help us all as we open your word to understand it and to know you. Father, I pray for the kids in this room. Help them by your spirit to obey their parents and to please you. Help all of us to honor our parents and to please you, our heavenly Father. And help me to speak. May my sin not hinder your glory from being on display. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this sermon will have four parts. You can see those parts in your notes. I'll start by telling you those parts. Part one, the command. Part two, why we obey. Part three is examples of obeying. And part four is the application. So we'll start with part one, and that comes from verse one. Let me read that. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So part one is the command that God gives. There's nothing to fill in for this part. It's printed in your notes. Children, obey your parents. And that command seems pretty simple. And it seems like it's easy to understand. And we could just move on to part two. But let's break it down and make sure we understand what all those words mean. So under part one, who are children? Technically speaking, who counts as a child? Teenagers? Are you still a kid? If you're 18, do you count? Does this command apply as long as your parents are alive? Here's the answer the Bible points to, is that children are in the home. That's the first blank. You see it on the screen. In the home. If you are a kid who lives with your parents, then this command applies to you. You need to obey your parents. Two verses earlier, it talks about a husband leaving his father and mother and starting a new home with his wife. This is showing us that he's left the home and authority of mom and dad and is starting a new family. And so kids, when you are all grown up and you're super old, you're like 40 years old and you live in your own home, and your parents call you and they say, clean your room, you do not have to obey them. This command is for kids who are living in their parents' home. And when you're living in your parents' home, right, you are depending on your parents. Parents are paying your rent and your mortgage, your bills, they're buying the groceries, insurance, all that kind of stuff. And so if you live there, obey them. If you're 5 years old and your parents tell you to turn off the tablet, obey. If you're 10 years old and your parents say 8:30 bedtime, obey. If you're 15 years old and your parents say you're grounded this weekend, obey. What about if you're in college and part of the year you're there, part of the year you're living at home? Well, the text isn't super clear. It doesn't give us a direct age, but if you're living with mom and dad, obey them. What does it mean to obey? We've probably heard this before, but it's so good. To obey means to do what you are told. Here's the next blank. Do what you are told right away, all the way, with a happy heart. Do what you were told right away, all the way, with a happy heart. That's what it means to obey. This is what the Bible is calling you, kids and teens, to do. You obey first right away. You do what your parents are telling you to do when they are telling you to do it. You don't finish your video game level. You don't lay on the couch until they raise their voice at you. You don't need them to tell you 5 times to do it. You obey right away. You do what they are telling you to do when they are telling you to do it. Kids, do you know the story of Jesus calming the storm? Jesus and his disciples are out on a boat, and they're on the lake, and then a wild storm hits, and water starts coming in the boat. And Jesus gets up, and he speaks to the storm, and he says, "Peace, be still." And the text says that the storm instantly stops. It's immediately calm. The verse says that the wind and waves obey Jesus instantly. The storm didn't keep going until Jesus started yelling at it, right? It didn't slowly stop. It stopped right away. And that's how you obey your parents. Just like the storm obeyed Jesus, you obey right away. And you obey all the way. You do all of what they are asking you to do. Obeying only part of what they say to do is actually disobeying. Partially obeying is disobeying. Partially obeying means you sort of obey, you kind of obey, you do some of what your parents ask, but not all of it. If they ask you to unload the groceries from the car, you unload all the groceries, not just some. Or if you get a curfew of 10 p.m., right? You don't leave your friend's house at 10 p.m. You're not in your neighborhood at 10 p.m. You are home at 10 p.m. And you obey with a happy heart. You do what they're telling you to do with a good attitude. This means no complaining, no grumbling, no arguing, no undermining, no stomping off, no silent treatment, no shouting at them. They tell you to turn off the TV and go make your bed, right? You don't yell, "Fine," storm off to your room, right? That's not it. You say, "Okay," and you do it with a good attitude. Well, who are your parents? Your parents are, this is an easy one, mom and dad. Your parents means your parents, your mom and dad. And certainly because of the world that we live in, you may just have a mom or just have a dad. Maybe you have a stepmom or stepdad too. Those are included. Maybe you don't have parents who are alive or who are around. So maybe grandma takes that role. Then obey her in that way. This goes for Christian parents or non-Christian parents. The verse doesn't just mean obey your parents if they love Jesus. Whether or not your parents love Jesus, obey them. And Paul says, right, your parents. Teens, you may have friends who have a different set of rules in their home. They're allowed to date earlier or get a phone sooner, or maybe they got a later curfew. God does not call you to obey the least strict parents that you know, but to obey your parents. Yes, You can voice your opinion. Yes, you can share your thoughts. Yes, you can ask them to clarify what they mean. You can ask them why they are giving a certain rule. Yes, you can appeal to them to change their rule or to hear you out. Yes, you can give them ideas on how they can do things differently. But at the end of the day, you obey them. You don't manipulate. You don't beg. You don't plead until you wear them down. You obey. They are the good but imperfect authority God has put in your life. And unless they are telling you to disobey God, you obey them. And if they do tell you to disobey God, you obey God over them. So that's part one. Children, obey your parents. I hope you got those blanks. Part two, why do we obey? Why do children obey their parents? Paul knows the heart of kids. It's to ask why. Why should I obey? And in these verses, Paul gives us four reasons. Number one, because it pleases Jesus. Because it pleases Jesus. It's right there in verse 1 when it says, obey your parents in the Lord. Obedience pleases Jesus. When Jesus was a kid, he obeyed his parents. Luke 2:51. And kids, because we follow Jesus, we do what he did. So we obey our parents too. This is what pleases Jesus. And listen, I want to be clear on this. If you guys were at youth group on Wednesday, we talked about this. We don't obey our parents to get saved or to get to heaven or to become a Christian. That's not it. We don't get to heaven by being good or doing good things like obeying our parents. And we don't obey our parents to get God to love us more. That's not it. It's not as if God is up in heaven waiting for you to obey your parents and then he's going to love you. No, the gospel, the good news is that even when we were sinners, God loved us. God knows all of us, kids and grown-ups, have disobeyed their parents and done a lot of other wrong things too. But because God loved us, he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus was the only one who perfectly obeyed. He perfectly obeyed his earthly parents and his heavenly father. He even obeyed to the point of death, even death on the cross. And since Jesus was perfect, he could die for our sins. So when Jesus died on the cross, he took all the punishment that we deserve for all our bad, all our sin on himself. All the punishment that we deserved went to him. Jesus paid it all. And since Jesus got all the punishment, we get all the forgiveness. And so now if you believe in Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. Disobeying your parents and every other bad thing. Since Jesus took our place, we can go free. And so if Jesus already loves us fully, then why should we obey our parents? We obey our parents because we love Jesus. He saved us. He's our Lord and King, and we follow him. I love hockey. My favorite hockey team is the Chicago Blackhawks. I got to go to a Blackhawks game 10 years ago with my dad and brother. And when I got into the United Center where the Hawks play, it was striking. Everybody in the stadium had on a red Blackhawks jersey. All the fans of the game love the Hawks. And because they love the Hawks, they want to look like the Blackhawks. So all the fans wear jerseys to imitate them. And same for us. If we love Jesus, we want to look like him. Not in what we wear, but in how we live, like obeying our parents, just like Jesus did, because we love God. That's number one. Number two, why do we obey? Because it's right, verse one says, because it's right. Kids obey their parents not only because it pleases Jesus, but we obey our folks because it's right. You could say it's common sense. When kids are born, they start off totally helpless and needy. Little babies can't even eat on their own. They need their parents to take care of them. And God gave parents to protect kids and help kids learn how to be adults. So even nature tells you it's the parents who should have the authority and the kids who should obey. A couple of months ago, I was cleaning out a drawer in our house, and our three-year-old came by, and she saw a screwdriver that was laying there, and she took it, and she jabbed it into the outlet, and she missed by about a quarter of an inch. So she pulled her arm back to try again, and I yelled, "No!" And she cried, and I hugged her, and I disarmed her. Right? She wasn't trying to be bad. She wasn't trying to be unsafe, but little kids need authority to survive. God designed this world for kids to need the authority of older grown-ups. And kids, you can flip this around too. When you see kids who are rebellious or who get in trouble at school, or when you see a kid in a store scream no in their parents' face and run down the aisle the other way, right? Something in your heart, whether you're a Christian or not, is like, man, that's not right. They should obey. And kids, as you get older, you start to think, well, I know better than my parents now. It's still right to obey them. There's this authority and order structure that is right in how God made the world. Another sports example for you. In soccer, I like Chelsea, and in a game, their coach called for their goalkeeper to get subbed out. In sports, the coach can substitute players, and players, regardless of how they feel, obey the coach. Except for this time. The player refused to come off the pitch. And he started yelling at the coach from the field. And it became a scene, and the fans started to boo this player. And the announcers were saying, this is the most disrespectful thing we've ever seen in soccer. And that week, the player got punished for not obeying his coach. He got fined and suspended. Why? Because it is right to obey. Even if you think you know better, kids, it's right to obey your parents' authority. Number three, why else do we obey? Well, because it's a commandment, verse 2 said. Because it's a commandment. Children following their parents isn't a new idea. It's an old one. It goes all the way back to Moses. One of the Ten Commandments is about honoring your father and mother. What number is it? Do you know? What number commandment is honor your father and mother?
5. Very good.
Wow. Yeah. The first 4 about loving God. The last 5 about loving other people. And the middle commandment, that 5th one, honoring your parents, kind of connects to both. And so kids, we obey our parents because God commands it. And since it's a command, you must do it. God doesn't say obey your parents when you feel like it. Sometimes we think that we should only do what we feel like doing. That's not right. Even your parents follow commands that they may not feel like doing. Your parents are commanded by the government to pay taxes. They may not feel like paying taxes, but because it's commanded by our nation's laws, they do it. So we don't obey because we feel like it. We obey because it's commanded. And so kids, if your parents tell you to do the dishes, you don't need to wait until you feel like it. Obey because it's commanded. And kids, your parents are meant to represent God for you, which is why this commandment is in here. Honoring your folks is a way for you to honor God. And the first step in learning to obey God is learning to obey your parents. So if you have trouble obeying your parents, you're going to have trouble obeying God. And this wasn't common back in Bible times, to honor your father and your mother. But God says men and women, both parents are equal, so we need to obey them both. And number 4, last reason to obey that Paul gives is because it will be rewarded, verse 3 says. Because it will be rewarded. Back in the days of Moses, when God gave the Ten Commandments, the commandment to honor your father and mother came with this promise that if the Israelites back then would obey God by obeying their parents, God would bless them and that he would give them a good life and a long life. So that was the promise back then for them. Now, we aren't Israelites living in the promised land, so is this promise still true for us today? If you obey your parents, will you get a better, longer life? The answer is yes, it's true. Look at verse 3. The promise really has 2 parts. First, if you obey your parents, yes, it will go well with you. If you obey your parents, you get less spankings. That's a better life. Life is better with no groundings and no loss of screen time, no timeouts, no tense relationship. No kid wants a bad relationship with their parents. No one wants to get disciplined. Life goes better when you obey. It's what the Bible says. Unless, say, parents have 2 kids. They love these 2 kids equally. And one kid obeys their parents all the time. The other kid disobeys his parents all the time. Now, parents love both kids equally. But which kid is going to experience his parents' love better? Well, it's a kid who obeys, right? And this is true for us with God. It's true for us with our parents. So life goes better when you obey. And second, the verse promises that you will get long life. Is God promising that if you obey your parents, you're going to live to be 100 years old on earth? Well, no. I think that's generally true, that kids who don't rebel and don't do wrong live longer. But what the verse is talking about is not earthly life, but eternal life. If God has saved you, he will transform you and help you to obey. And kids, one of the best evidences that you believe in Jesus is that you obey your parents. So this is really a promise for all Christians. God promises eternal life for all who believe in Christ and follow him. So that's why we obey from Ephesians 6. It pleases Jesus. It is right. It is a command, and it will be rewarded. So let's get practical. Part 3, how can we obey our parents? Well, here's 4 from the book of Ephesians. Number 1 comes from Ephesians 5:20. It says, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 1, say thanks. Number 1, say thanks. One way to honor and obey your parents is to say thanks to them. In Ephesians 5, this is the verse right before he starts talking about families and marriage. Right, Paul says, give thanks. He says, be thankful in everything. And this includes, right, what your parents do for you. Maybe it's easy for you to list out the ways your parents don't do what you want. But saying thanks is a great way to obey this verse. It's something we take for granted all the time. And maybe, kids, that's your takeaway from this text, is that you're going to say thanks every day to your parents this week. Thanks for putting up with all the puking when you were pregnant with me. Thanks for waking up in the middle of the night all the time when I was a baby. Thanks for making my meals and doing my laundry and paying for my phone and driving me everywhere, paying for my gas and taking care of me and praying for me, helping me, being there for me. If you find yourself complaining about your folks a lot, the cure is to thank them for everything that you can think of. Number 2, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Number 2, speak well of them. Number 2, speak well of them. In Ephesians 4, Paul says to build one another up, and that includes your parents. Build them up by speaking well of them. You can do this to their face, right? By being kind to them when you are talking with them. Maybe a better way is to speak well of them behind their back when they're not around. Don't be the kid who trash talks his parents, talks badly about them to others. It can be easy maybe when you're with your siblings to roast your parents, or when you're with your friends to dunk on your folks. And I'm not saying you have to turn into a cornball goody two-shoes, but you don't need to air out all the grievances you have against your folks. Don't embarrass them or be fake around them. Don't tear them down to other people. Some of you students have these just amazing, awesome, fun, dynamic personalities. But then when your folks want to connect with you, you shrivel up and you become the most boring person on earth, right? Speak well of them. Speak well with them. Open up, relate with them. Talk about your life with them. And when they're not around, defend them, right? Honor them. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Number 3, forgive them. In Ephesians 4, Paul says we are to forgive one another because Jesus forgave us. And that includes your folks. Spoiler, your parents are not perfect. They've sinned against you. They've hurt you. They've made promises and broken them. They've had unrealistic expectations for you. They've made bad decisions that have maybe cost you and more. Yet Jesus calls you to forgive them. And since Jesus forgave you of all your sin, you can forgive your parents. Some students walk around armed with a bunch of ways of how their folks have done them dirty. They've got this chip on their shoulder and are bitter and jerky to their folks because they haven't forgiven them. That bitterness, if you don't forgive, will harden you into a jerky shell of a person as you get older. A great relationship with your folks may just start by you forgiving them. Maybe your folks will come to you and ask for forgiveness. Maybe your folks rarely say sorry to you. You're gonna have to pray for them and forgive them in your heart. Either way, forgive them. And while we're here, another piece of this can be owning your sin. Admit your sin to your folks. I'm not saying you have to admit every sin that you've ever done, but when you sin against them or break their rules, confess it to them. The Bible says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, meaning to those kids who act like they don't sin and don't come clean about their sin, God is working against you. But to those who admit their sin and admit they are wrong, God welcomes and loves and forgives and helps. Tell your parents about the wrong you did before they find out about it. Sometimes your parents maybe know a part of what you did wrong. Don't just confess that part. Admit it all to them. Go to them, confess your sin, ask for forgiveness. Don't hide it. Don't pretend it's not there. Don't try to forget about it. And listen, I know parents typically stink at this. Parents rarely confess sin and admit that they were wrong to their kids. So kids, lead by example. You forgive them and admit when you are wrong. One more from Ephesians 1:10. It says, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. Number four, love Jesus more. Love Jesus more. More than anything, love Jesus even more than you love your folks. Ephesians 1 talked about how much greater Jesus is than everything else, including your parents. Jesus is the main point of everything. One day, the verse says that everything in the universe will perfectly point to Jesus. And so in the meantime, love Jesus with your whole heart. Hopefully, you've got parents who love Jesus with their whole heart. And realistically, that's not the case for all of you. So lap them. Do better than them. Love Jesus more than they do. Obey Jesus more. Follow him more closely. Be in church. Be in the Word all the time. And if your folks do love Jesus a ton, this is what they will want for you. They'll care more about church than they do about your extracurriculars. They'll care more about your walk with Jesus than your grades. They'll care more about you getting into heaven than getting into Harvard. And listen, you know the idols of your parents. Some of you have parents who care more about your grades or your success or your athletics or your freedom or your fun or your family or your money or whatever than they care about Jesus. Don't follow your parents into their idolatry. Instead, love Jesus more than they do. Now, I hope you love your parents, but I hope that you love Jesus even more than you love your parents. Jesus said that your love for him should run so deep that your love for your folks looks like hate. You love Jesus that much. And some of you may have folks that their plan for your life is, yeah, I hope you're a moral person, but really, I hope you get into a good college and get a good job and marry someone great and you're super successful. That is not Jesus' plan for your life, though. Jesus wants you to follow him and to die to yourself and to your desires and maybe even to die to your parents' desires for you, which means if you love Jesus more, you may disappoint your folks. But if you disappoint them because you're pleasing Jesus, that's a great thing. So love Jesus more. All right, last section, application, three things. How can we apply a text like this? Number one, kids, listen in church. Listen in church. Did you notice that verse one is addressed to kids? Verse one doesn't say, hey, parents, listen up. Make sure you tell your kids to obey. God doesn't start talking to the parents. He's talking to the kids. Back when the book of Ephesians was first written, did you know this? It was actually a letter. It was a letter written by Paul, the missionary, and he was in jail at the time. But he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus. And someone carried it for Paul because he was in jail, right? And brought it to the city of Ephesus and to the church in Ephesus. And when the letter got there, the church took it and read the letter right there in church in front of everyone. And so that means that there were kids in the service listening to what was being said. Because God is talking right here to children. And so if you're in high school or middle school or you're younger, when you're in church, listen and pay attention. It's also pretty incredible that God addresses kids here. This was extremely rare back then. Nowadays, there's TV shows for kids and amusement parks for kids. Everything's kind of catered to kids. But it was very rare back then, especially for girls to ever be addressed in a setting like this. But God sees you, kids, and he loves you, and he's speaking right to you. And so when you are in church, listen to what God is saying in his word. Second application, honor your parents. Honor your parents. To honor means to treat as having special value, to prize. God says, honor your father and mother. And this is for all of us. While obeying your parents is for when you're at home, honoring your parents is for your whole life. So as long as your folks are alive, honor them. Show special value to them. The Bible expects kids and grandkids to take care of their older relatives. This is 1 Timothy 5:4. It pleases God, that verse says, when kids take care of their aging parents. In Matthew 15, there were religious leaders who ignored their parents as they got older. And they rationalized their behavior by saying, well, we're doing these other good things with our lives. We're just too busy with too many other good things to take care of our aging parents. And Jesus rips them for that. So kids of any age, as your folks or grandparents get older, take care of them. This may mean financially providing for them, caring for them in their declining years, maybe in your home or in their home or in an assisted living home. Honoring your parents may include much more too. It may mean seeking their advice or visiting them, helping them in practical ways, accommodating them when they're older. Certainly to honor them means that you're not disrespecting them in the way that you talk about them. Maybe you can be in prayer this week. God, how can I better honor my parents? And last one, number three, don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. Ephesians 2:19 says, so then you are no longer, you see it, strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. God says that if you're a Christian, you're part of the family of God. And RBC is a local family of God. So don't be a stranger, be a part of the family. And this means more than just showing up to church. Families serve each other. Maybe your role in the family is to serve kids. You're going to serve in Crosswalk or Awana or at Schulte School with the Good News Club. Families help each other. Maybe you see a family who could use help. Babysitting, caring for kids, they need parenting help. Be willing to lean in and help. Families love each other. I get to see this up close in youth group. We've got so many great youth leaders who love kids well. Kids from all different backgrounds get loved on well by our youth leaders. Family connects with each other. I think one of the coolest things about RBC is the age diversity that we have here. People of every age, it's such a great mix. And maybe you hear a sermon like this and you think, well, I don't have kids and my parents are gone. What am I supposed to do with this text? Well, get in some families' lives here and be a blessing. Have them over. Take them out. Love them. When I was a kid, Miss Florence Anderson, she was a single, older, single lady in the church. She would always talk with me and my siblings. And she would have us over for meals and get us Christmas presents. She connected with her forever family. So don't be a stranger. Play your role in the family. Kids, if you get that bulletin filled out, after our last song, not right now, after our last song, you can come up and get a snack. And if you're thinking, what about the parents? What are they supposed to be doing to obey God? Why is this all about me? Come back next week and we'll talk about it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I'm so thankful for the obedience that we see in Jesus, who obeyed to the uttermost for us. And Father, I pray for those in here who don't yet know you. God, may they see the goodness of Jesus in the gospel and believe. And God, I pray by your spirit, you would empower the kids here to obey their parents. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.